Help me to walk the narrow road, Lord, I humbly pray. Help me to bear some other's load, struggling in the way. Help me to build upon the rock, not upon the sand. And when shall come the tempting shout, help me, Lord, to stand. Help me, O Lord, to stand each tempted child that come along my way, along my way. Help me to stand up on the solid ground. For these days, for these days, be thou my guiding star, my guiding star, and hope me by thy hand, yes, by thy hand. And when I face the judgment bar, help me, O Lord, to stand. 213. While traveling through this world of sorrow, I'm trusting, Lord, in Thee, that I may say, You might stand with just saying one verse. Like a baby when he cries for his mother, like a child I was helpless alone. When you
thankful we could be gathered here tonight for a week's Bible study. Church invited Brother Joe Lott to come be with us. I just let you know this, Brother Joe, I feel like knows this. I love Brother Joe and his family. Little family is kind of special to me. Got some children that I love just like I do other that needs the Lord Jesus Christ, and never meet his little family. That's the oldest daughter, especially, she trusted the Lord. So got a great burden for his little family, just like I do others, that they could trust Jesus Christ. Most of you know Brother Joe, and we're looking forward to some good teaching, a good man. We just turn the service over, Brother Joe.
Go ahead and turn, if you would, to the book of Genesis, chapter 1. Genesis, chapter 1. I'm not going to lie to you tonight as I stand here. I've looked forward to coming and being here. And on the other hand, there was another part of me that's a little bit nervous and maybe a little bit uneasy. And I apologize for that. I'm going to try my best not to let it show. And I ask God to help me. But you certainly pray for me. I say this, that y'all probably know me better than I know you. And, you know, in a way, that's good. And those of you that don't know me, you probably like me better for it. But we certainly are glad to be here this week. I want you to pray for me. We're going to do some studying on some things that to some might seem like that's a waste of time. It's just not something that's really important. I know what I believe. I know why I believe it. And that's just good enough for me. But we're living in a time where that everything is being questioned, everything is being debated, everything is trying to be disputed about the way things are and why things are. And I've learned that when you study things, one of the best ways to study them is to go back and look at the origin, to go back and look at the beginning. If you're trying to study about a certain denomination or a certain religion, go back and look at its origin, go back and look at its beginning. If you're trying to study about somebody, you know, we like to go back to our roots. We like to go back and dig up our family trees. And sometimes we like what we find. Sometimes we don't. But on the other hand, we're going to start at the beginning this week. And, you know, you might say, well, what are we going to study? Well, we're going to study the Bible. And we're going to start at the beginning. And there's no better place to start than right at the very beginning. I want to look this week. We're not going to spend all of our time on the creation. The main thing that I want us to deal with is the first 11 chapters of the book of Genesis. That might seem like something that we ought to be teaching small children, but it's something that we all need a refresher course in. It's something that we need to be firmly rooted and grounded and to be able to give some answers. Our children are asking, and I'm not saying my children, but all of our children and your grandchildren are asking some questions that are pretty difficult to answer. They're being taught things that you probably were never taught, or never even would look at as being feasible, nothing that would even be reasonable. But today they're being taught that for fact, and it's not taught as a theory anymore, it's taught as fact. And I'm not just trying to debunk revolution, but to really just have a firm grip and a firm foundation on who we are, what we are, and why we're here. And, you know, that's something that might seem a little bit foolish to a lot of people, but we're going to look at that. I think if you go out into our world as a whole, we live in a world that, surprisingly enough, that one-third of the population are atheist. And you look at the United States, and that applies to us as the United States, that one-third of the people that live in our country, in our world, and in our country, about the same thing, refuse to believe in God. And the thing that we look at is this, that to be considered an atheist biblically, now this is not worldly, but Brother Brent, biblically a person has to be willfully ignorant. They have to choose and make a choice that they no longer want to believe in God, because there is an innate knowledge in every human being, in every person, of a knowledge of God. And because of the teachings of Romans chapter 1, they have to make that choice of what they choose to believe and what they choose not to believe. And you know, you say, well, you know, I was raised in church and I really didn't have a choice. Yes, you did. Somewhere in your life, You have chosen to believe what you want to believe. You say, well, that's just the way I was raised. I didn't have a lot of say-so in it. Well, then why doesn't everybody that's raised in church, why doesn't everybody that's raised under the truth, why don't they stay with the truth? Somewhere along the way, Brother Richard, they make a choice of what they want to believe, and they so choose that. Let me tell you this, and then I'll start with some scripture. There was a man that I was asked to go visit in the hospital at Forest General one day, and his family was very concerned about him. So I went by to check on him, went by to visit with him, and began to ask him some questions, and trying to work up to ask him about his soul and where he stood with the Lord, and ask him what church he went to, what kind of religion that he was. And he said, well, I really don't go to church. And I said, well, what do you believe? What is it that you believe in? He said, Brother Joe, I'll just shoot straight with you. I said, that's the way I like you to be. He said, I believe in reincarnation. I believe that, you know, I believe in the philosophy of reincarnation. You know, that's a very popular philosophy in our world. It's not right here in South Mississippi, but in our world, that's a very popular belief. But this is the point I wanted to make, that I said, why do you believe that? Don't you believe the Bible? He said, well, I believe parts of it. I said, what if you don't believe all of it? You really can't believe any of it. And he said, well, Brother Joey said, and this is what he approached me with. He said, if you had the friends that I have, and in the environment that I'm in, you would probably believe like I do. But you know, the thing about it is, if you stop and, you know, a lot of us say, well, I believe the reason, the way that I believe is because of the way I was raised. There's a lot of other people in our world that believe the way that they believe because of the way they were raised, because of the environment that they're in. But they choose to believe that. But my point is this, that we are increasingly a minority. Not only just to believe in God, but to believe that the Word of God is inerrant, that there's no error in it, that it's infallible, that it's completely trustworthy, that it's completely dependable. Brother Richard, when you leave here, we're in the minority. And when you send children to school and they are educated, I have nothing against education. I'm all for it, and I believe that they ought to go as far as they can go and do the best that they can do and do the best at it. But it just bombarded daily with the teachings that are anti-Christ, that are against the teachings of God, that are against the teachings of the Scripture. And they spend hours upon hours with that. They're growing up with children, with friends that don't go to church. It's very unusual and it's very rare to be able to find people that you can, your children can associate with that believe the Scripture, that believe the Bible in its entirety. That's something that, you know, is pretty rare to be able to look at. And we can all, you know, do like I would like to do. Brother Richard mentioned one of my children. My oldest daughter is 13. And everybody says, you know, she's a pretty little girl. And Brother Joe, it won't be long. The boys are going to be, you know, looking at her and going to be wanting to date her. And I said, you know, if ignorance is bliss, I'm real happy. I'm just going to live in denial and act like it's not coming. And I told the lady the other day, I said, I got scripture for you that I said, the Bible teaches us to, you know, don't borrow trouble for tomorrow, from tomorrow, for sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof, you know, and take no thought for the morrow. So I'm taking no thought for the morrow. So we can all, you know, and what are y'all thinking? What's going through your mind right now? You can ignore it, but it's coming. Isn't it what y'all thinking? You shake your head, it's all right. But you see, you can sit there tonight and you can say, Brother Joe, I don't want to believe all that, and I don't want to think about all that. Well, you don't have to think about it, but it's coming. We're living a day that we are in the vast minority as far as believing the Scripture. And I want you to take a look at some of these things, and I want you to keep your Bibles open. I'm going to flip to a lot of different scriptures and use a lot of different things, and listen very carefully. And if you want to ask a question or make a comment, that's fine too. And I won't promise to have all the answers, but we're going to try to take a look at some of them. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Those are two scriptures that we have all grown up with. We all know them, could probably quote them and be very well acquainted. with what they say. I've been amazed to go back and to look at different ones, and I could call some world-renowned ministers that if you were to ask them the question of what do they really believe about creation, they would tell you, I believe God created it, but I believe that he did it through evolution. I believe that God created it, but I believe that he did it in over a process of time, not just a seven-day period of time or a six-day period of time and rested the seventh day. But they'll tell you, I believe that, you know, things have just happened over a process of time, but I believe that God did it. You'll have others that would teach what's called a gap theory, that there was a gap in there, and you know, when you drop down and you get to a certain point, that there was a gap of where that, you know, there could have been creation, there could have been people, and then, you know, a gap of which the Bible doesn't tell us about, and you know, there were people upon the face of the earth, and I'll deal with some more about that a little bit later on. But there's a lot of different teachings that you could hear, even from the religious side, about the creation and about things the way that they are. I want you, if you will, to turn to John chapter 1, and we'll begin in verse 1. And I want to get through some scriptures that I know that you know them, and I know them, but I want to read them. I want to comment on them. And then I want you to come back to the book of Genesis and start over there. We're not going to go through all the days of creation and try to take every detail. I bore you to tears with that. And we're not going to try that angle of it. John chapter 1 and verse 1. If you notice the statement here, John begins his gospel the same way that Genesis begins. In the beginning was the Word. We know that we have an eternal God, an eternal Savior, that they were already there in the beginning. There is a teaching that God created Jesus somewhere along in time. Brother Brent, there's no truth to the fact that God created Jesus. If you go down and notice, and it's the same was in the beginning with God. The same was, now notice verse 2, the same was in the beginning. Jesus was already with God. Jesus was already present at the beginning. There was no space of time where all of a sudden somewhere that God the Father created Jesus and Jesus came into existence. Jesus always was in existence, and I know you know that. But he says all things were made by him. Jesus was the creator. He was the creator God. But notice this statement, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And that's a very significant statement. One more time. Without him was not anything made that was made. Everything that we see, everything that is in existence, every strain, everything that you see is attributed to the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, preacher, in our day, we've got a lot of different types of plants. We have a lot of different types of animals. And, you know, and a lot of them are hybrids. And a lot of them things that have been grafted. And man has learned to do all of these things. But the thing that I want us to stop and look at tonight to get on our mind first and foremost, that all life is attributed to God. All life comes from God. Without him, listen now, without him was not anything made that was made. When you begin to stop and look at that, there has never been life came out of anything but what cannot be attributed to God. A lot of people are worried today. What's one of the big, well, you've got evolution that's a big debate in our day. What about some other things? What about the deal of cloning? That's a big issue in our day. It's something that we say, well, I don't have to deal with that. That's not something that in my lifetime that's going to be a big deal, really. It's becoming more and more prevalent and discussed more and more every day. Those things. What about abortion? How do you debate abortion? How do you debate euthanasia, just the mercy killing of people? How do you discuss these issues apart from the fact that all life came from God? How do you debate the majority of the issues that are being discussed in our day? The reason that there's chaos and confusion about it all, Brother Mike, we're trying to discuss these things without looking at the origin. We're just trying to discuss these things without looking at Scripture. We're trying to discuss these things apart from God, and none of it makes sense apart from God. And that's what we want to look at this week. There was not anything made that was made. Turn to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. For by Him, Colossians 1, 16, for by Him were all things created. And I want you to notice the emphasis of that. For by Him were all things created. And you might say, Brother Joe, there's no point in driving that point home. I think there is. Because somewhere along the way we think that there's been new things done and new things that have came into existence. We're finding new species of things. And you know, there's new things. And where did this thing come from? By Him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible. That doesn't make a lot of sense, does it? Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. What's Romans 13 verse 1 teach? For the powers that be or are ordained of God. I always get my speaking mixed up when I try to say that. The governments, the nations, the empires that have ruled our world. If you look at history, apart from God, it doesn't make a lot of sense. But when you look at the divine providence of God, if you go back to our founding fathers, they used the word providence all the time. They couldn't hardly say anything about God without talking about the providence of God. They couldn't discuss issues without the providence of God. Today, we talk about coincidences. Today, we talk about, well, things just happen. They're just happenstances. They never discussed things like that. They would talk about the hand of God in everything that was done. Even our founding fathers, Brother Toler, believed in the providence of God and the origin of our country. They believed that it was the hand of God that did it. Today, we believe in military. We believe in political strategy. And we believe in the intellect of man. We leave God clean out of it. But he said here that everything that you see that exists comes from God. Whether they be principalities or powers, they're of God. Now listen, all things were created by Him and for Him. I thought about it. We'll get to the next verse in just a minute. We're riding down the road the other day and discussing some things. And I'm not a pessimist. I really don't even care to be around pessimists all that much. I've never liked that. I don't believe that you can have much faith. I don't believe you can have the faith in God you ought to have and be a pessimist. I don't believe you can. Faith in God erases pessimism. And yet the other day we were discussing an issue, and my wife, and I said, it looks like things are just falling apart. I said, Tammy, it looks like everything, every aspect of society is falling apart. She said, Joe, it's not falling apart. It's just falling together. It's just falling together. Things are not falling apart. Brother Broom, things are not falling apart. Who's in control? Y'all believe that? Can things fall apart when God's in control? You can't believe both ways. Amen. Things are just falling together. That's what they're doing. And you know, and she hit the nail on the head. I said, well, you're exactly right. Notice the statement that he made here. And He is before all things. And here's this statement. Why do you think Paul kept emphasizing this? And by Him, all things consist. By Him, all things consist. Now, then you get into the issue. Go ahead and be turning to Hebrews chapter 11. And I'm going to talk while you turn. Hebrews chapter 11. You begin to deal with the issue of intellect and the ability to think and the ability to reason. And you know, when we are taught to reason, we're taught to figure things out. And from just a little child, we are teaching children that you have to understand things. You have to grasp things. Why do you think people today are having such a hard time being saved? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but how many of you all were like me that the reason that you had a hard time being saved, you tried to figure it out? You don't have to raise your hand, but I'm going to tell you I had a hard time being saved because, Brother Richard, I thought if anybody can figure it out, I can.
Figuring out God doesn't work, does he? It just makes a fool out of yourself. I'm fixing to read that. And this did about creation. Let's read in Hebrews chapter 3. And notice in verse 1, he said, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." I'm not going to deal with that, but he's laying out of what faith will do. He said, "For yet by it the elders obtained a good report," in Hebrews 11. Now verse 3, I want you to listen very carefully to verse 3, and I want you to read it word for word. "Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." I want to reread this, and I'm going to reread it, and I want you to listen to a word I'm fixing to change in it. "Through faith, we understand how the worlds were framed by the word of God." Is that what it says? Faith does not explain how, does it? All faith explains is that it was. And what we're looking for and what so many people want is, "Preacher, explain to me how." I can't. If I could explain God, I wouldn't need God. If I could explain God, I would be God. Let me ask you a question. It's a foolish question. How many of you would want a God you could understand? He wouldn't be much of a God if you could understand it. Now, I know I'm insulting your intelligence, but I'm not. I'm bragging on God. He wouldn't be much of a God if me and you could understand him. He wouldn't be much of a God if we could figure him out. So what we have to do is we just have to accept it without understanding it. And that goes against the grain of humanity. That goes against the grain of anything me and you are. We want to understand it all. We want to know how it works. You give a little boy a screwdriver and what's he going to do? He's going to take it apart and see how it ticks. He's going to see what makes it go. He wants to know all about it. He wants to understand it. He wants to be able to grasp it. He wants to be able to hold on to it. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, if you will. I'm going to still keep talking. You turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Faith does not explain how. Faith explains that it just simply was. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. This week I am not even going to deal with a how. I can't do it. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. So if that's what you're looking for, you're going to be mighty disappointed. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Listen to a statement that's made here. And I'd like to preach it right here, but I'm going to try to refrain from doing that. Verse 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 19. "For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent." Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Listen, "Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God." I know that the love of money is the root of all evil. But I'm going to tell you what's more dangerous than the love of money is confidence in your intellectual ability. Confidence in your education. Confidence in your learning. Listen, confidence in your own wisdom is probably one of the most dangerous things that there is. The world by wisdom knew not God. I tell you what it'll do. It'll cause you to feel like you don't need God. You say, what's the trouble with money? Well, there's nothing wrong with money, but it'll cause you, if you're not careful, to feel like you don't need God. I tell you what intellectual ability will do. It'll cause you to feel like you don't need God. The world by wisdom knew not God. It's dangerous. You have to be very careful with it. What we need to stop and understand is this. That what we need is faith to just be able to accept God. You see, the thing about intellectual ability, it'll cause you to question what God says. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. You say, well, I'm too smart to believe something like that. I'm too smart to accept something like that. No, you're just big enough a fool to not accept it. It's foolish. Now listen to him. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. That's the world we live in. Everybody's seeking to know. Everybody's seeking to understand. And again, I have nothing against a good education. I want you to know that. A lot of people say, preacher, you don't believe in it. I believe in it with all my heart. But when it supersedes the knowledge of the Scripture, something's backwards. When we will accept science, when we will accept philosophy over the teachings of the Word of God, we're in trouble. And folks, that's where we are. That's where we are. Listen to him now very carefully. He said, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. So what I'm trying to tell you in all this, we're dealing with something that we can't understand. We're dealing with something that we cannot comprehend. So you might as well get on off your high horse and understand this. Paul just put it this way before I get through with what I'm going to read. Can you turn over to chapter 3 and verse 18 for just a minute? Keep your finger in chapter 1. Turn over to chapter 3 and verse 18. Chapter 3 and verse 18, he said, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 12, be not wise in your own conceits. So if you really want to be wise, Brother Brent, if we really want to be wise, what we need to do is admit that I don't know. If you really want to be wise, admit how foolish you are. And if you really want to be a fool, Brother Richard, what you do, if you really want to be a fool, is keep acting like you know it all. One of the best bumper stickers I've ever seen. Saw it on the back of a car one day. It said, those that think they know everything annoy those of us who do. You know, that pretty much sums us up. Listen to it now. Back in chapter 1. Verse 26. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God chose that. He chose the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are. Why? That no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Be very careful what you glory in. Be very careful, even the fact that one man, I remember one night preaching about wisdom. No, I didn't. I was preaching about humility. I was preaching along the line of humility, and the pastor stood up behind me. And he said, you know, for a long time, he said, I've taken a lot of pride in my humility. Well, that's pretty good. There's a lot of us that for too long have taken pride in our humility. Well, that's not humility at all, is it? What do you take pride in tonight? We need to be very careful. What I'm trying to say is this. Even when we come to the place to feel like that we've got it all figured out, and I understand it all, Brother Joe, you just need to understand that's when we become a fool. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 1 now, and let's start back over in Genesis chapter 1. Try to establish the fact that everything that consists, everything that exists, everything that is, came from God. God is the origin of all life, whether it be plant life, whether it be animal life, whatever it might be. Where did that come from? Well, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2. Listen to the statement here. and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. What if that was not there? Turn to Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Chapter 2, verse 7. And the Lord God formed the man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. What was man before he received that breath, or what's called the spirit of life? That term breath there comes from pneuma, just like pneumatic tube means air tube. The word spirit comes from the term pneuma, pneumatic, breath, air. The breath of life, the spirit moved upon the face of the deep. It moved upon the darkness. And listen, what it did, it brought life to it. It brought life. It brought, you say, well, God made it. Yes, but God made man too. God made man and he formed him from the dust of the earth. Brother Mike, what was man before he breathed into his nostrils? He was just dust. And you see, the thing about creation that makes it so special was the Spirit of God moved on it. And it put it all, it made it all work. It made it all move. When the Spirit of God moves people, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. What is a man without the Spirit of God? Samson said that you cut my hair and I'll become just like what? Like any other man. You see, it's the Spirit of God that makes things special. And mankind, the difference in mankind and animals was the breath of life that God breathed into. You say, well, he gave animals the spirit of life. He did that. He gave animals life, just like he gave me and you life. But God gave us something different. He gave us a soul. Now let's go back and let's deal with some questions a lot of people raise about things. A lot of people say that, Brother Joe, time did not exist until Adam and Eve were taken from the garden. Time did not exist until... Time was not counted until Adam and Eve left the Garden of Eden. It was not then until time existed. So you really can't tell how old the earth is. You can't tell how old it might be, millions and billions of years old, because we don't know really how old Adam and Eve is, and we really don't know how old the earth is. That's what some folks teach. That's what a lot of God's people believe. But the evening and the morning were the what? When did God begin to count time? In the beginning, you say, Brother Joe, that's foolish. But I'm going to tell you, listen, there's a world full of people that believes that from the time that Adam, well, from even before that, the day one until the day that Adam and Eve were kicked out of the garden, that there was no such thing as time. Because there was not sin. Listen, time did not begin when sin entered the world. A lot of people say that. Let me deal with something now for just a minute. Turn to Genesis chapter 5, and I want you to consider something, and I'm without going through all the parts of creation. How old was Adam when he died? Genesis chapter 5, verse 5 said he was 930 years. But what does the first part of Genesis chapter 5, verse 5 say? What does the first part of the verse say? All the days that Adam lived. It didn't say, Brother Brent, from the time he's kicked out of the garden to the time he died. From the time that he began to exist to the time he died was 930 years. He said, well, I've always believed it like that. But not everybody does. And if somebody comes to you like a man did me one day, and he said, Brother Joe, he said, look, time didn't exist until Adam and Eve was kicked out of the garden. And I'm going to tell you, I left there scratching my head. He said, it's easy to see how we get millions and billions of years. It's easy when you use carbon dating and you come up with these rocks being this many years old and these bones being this old. He said, it's no problem to believe that. I don't know how long did Adam and Eve spend in the Garden of Eden, do you? The Bible doesn't say, does it? But I know how long he lived. Brother Richard, from the day God made him to the day he died was 930 years.
I think I've been saying 960, hadn't I? 930. I don't remember what I said, but it's 930. He lived that long.
A lot of people say, well, Brother Joe, why is it that you can do this carbon dating? You can come up with things. What did Adam look like when God created him? Was he a baby, a boy, or a man? Sir? Was he a full-grown man or was he a little baby boy man? He was full-grown, wasn't he?
Wait a minute.
If you'd have looked at Adam the day that God made him, how old would you guess he was?
Am I being silly or what? Y'all are laughing at me. Am I being too facetious?
If you looked at him, how old would you have thought he was?
I don't know.
That's why I like asking the question, Brother Toler. What are we going to look like in eternity? I don't know.
You don't either. Look like the Lord. How's that for an answer?
What did he look like when God created him?
Don't know, but he was a man, wasn't he?
So, Brother Richard, what did the earth look like when God created it?
It looked like it had always been there.
It looked like it had always been, looked like it had been there for millions and millions of years. It just looked just like that. And a lot of times we get in our minds when God created it, it was just some little bitty thing and it had to expand. It's not the way that it happened. Notice, if you will, Genesis chapter 2 and verse 1. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 1, and we're going to flip-flop back through these chapters back and forth a good bit. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 1. Of course, we know the Lord created in 6 days and the seventh day rested. But notice chapter 2 and verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. It was finished. He started it at the end of the sixth day. It was finished. He was through creating. He was through making anything. And since that day, there's never been anything else made out of nothing. Everything else that has been made since that day has been made from something. A lot of people get all upset about cloning and all that thing. Will man ever be able to create life? Does man have that ability one day to figure out how to do that? He can't do it. He doesn't have that ability. Why? Because he's not God. Man cannot create life. You can watch every science fiction movie and read every book you want to read. Man can't do that. Everything has got to come from God, and God finished it. So anything that's going to exist, you know, from polymers and plastics and cloning and everything else that you want to study, you can study genetics. That's a fascinating study. That's one of the bit you can't turn on the news and listen, read the newspaper and hear something about genetics in our day. It's a fad and our world's going crazy over it. We're going to look at some of that. A lot of these issues. We're going to deal with them. Good Lord's willing. I don't want us to stop. Go back, if you would, to Genesis chapter 1. Let's start in verse 24. Genesis chapter 1, verse 24. It's fun to discuss some of these things. You say, well, Brother Joe, there's really not a purpose in it. But I'm going to tell you what. I've got three children that I want them to know the truth. I want them to know who they are. I want them to know what they are. Because if they don't, they'll get to the point after a while they think they don't need God. They'll get like Eve and feel like that they can become their own God. And they'll bite into the devil's fruit. And not only be condemned, but they'll die and burn in hell for all eternity if they don't trust Christ. People need to know what they are. Amen. They need to know where they came from. Amen. That's one of the main teachings of evolution, is to do away with the teaching of the depravity of mankind. If you do away with creation, if you do away with God, if you do away with Genesis chapter 3, you don't even need God. Genesis chapter 1, verse 24, and God said, let the earth bring forth a living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing and the beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth. Why am I reading all this? What's the phrase I keep reading? After his kind.
The beast of the earth after his kind. It was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, the cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. God didn't make a mess out of anything. God didn't confuse anything. God made it all, and it was all just like it is now. When God made things, he made them like yours. He said, but Brother Joe, we have so many different types of cows and so many breeds of cows, but they're still cows. Well, there's a lot of different kind of goats, Brother Joe, but they're still goats. There's a lot of different kind of birds, but they're still birds. There's a lot of goofy-looking creatures on the earth, but they're just like God made them. Man has never made an animal that's come out and they say, boy, we've never seen nothing like that before. We've never seen anything like that. My English right. We've never seen anything like that before. Everything that pops out on the earth, Brother Richard, we say, I've seen one of them. Because it came from one of those. Everything. Well, I know that's foolish, real simple-minded thinking. But that's just the way it is. There's no such thing. It just all of a sudden pops out of an egg or pops out and appears on the face of this earth. And we say, boy, there's never been one of those before. There's always been one of them. Where did it come from? After his kind. And God designed them where they would reproduce. And they would reproduce how? After their kind. That's the way God made them. Let's drop on over in the reading now. Verse 27. God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. How did a young man, Brother Richard, down not too far from y'all's neck of the woods, that approached me one night after church, and he said, Brother Joey, said, I got a question for you. He said, I want to ask you a question. He said, do you believe that there were people upon the face of the earth before Adam and Eve? He said, the Bible says to replenish the earth. He said, and he gave me two or three, and I'm going to give you what he told me. He gave me two or three, and one of them was the Bible said to replenish the earth. That term replenish just simply means to fill full. It means to fill up. The word replenish doesn't mean to plenish again. It means to fill up, to fill full. Another thing that he brought out was an age-old question that nobody really has a good answer for, but the answer is just right on the end of your nose if you'll just see it. Who did Cain marry? Where did he go, you know, to get who he married? And his reasoning was that, you know, there must have been some other folks so he could go get a wife. You know what that is? It's God making a fool out of people. Amen. That's somebody, Brother Brent, that thinks that they're so wise and they're so smart and they're such a fool. Turn, if you will, for just a second. Chapter 3, verse 20. One of the best things that I ever was told. It wasn't just told to me personally. It was told to a group of us one time in a Bible study. Brother H.R. Byrd said this one time, and I'd never heard him teach. That was the first time I'd ever heard him teach anything. And he gave this advice. He said, always let the Bible answer the Bible. Never try to answer the Bible with something outside the Bible. Always let the Bible answer the Bible. Read, if you would, in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 20. Why did Adam name Eve? And Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of what? All living. There wasn't anybody before Adam and Eve. She was the mother of all living. And that's just so simple. You say, but preacher, this is just too easy. But I'm telling you, our world is struggling with this stuff. We also, and I'm going to try to do this and close. Y'all sang a little long, so I'm going to preach just a little long. If that's all right. I want to get past this so we can start next time. We also deal with the thought today that, you know, we're looking at man, and man went around dragging his knuckles and grunting at each other. How, you know? Isn't that what our world believes that mankind was? And finally he got where he could stand upright, and he got where he could speak, and all of a sudden he developed language, and he developed the ability to communicate
Well, isn't that what everybody believes? How intelligent was Adam? Did he live in a cave and beat sticks together and, you know, finally learned how to do all these things? And one day he figured out how to make a wheel and, you know. You'll think I'm being silly, but if you ask any child, that's their impression of man. He started out as an ignorant beast, and he's finally evolving into a very intricate, a very complex creature. Genesis chapter 2. He talks about how that, verse 18, Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18, the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make an help meet for him." Let me say this right here, and I don't not meaning to be ugly. I don't want to be taken as a smart aleck, but it don't say "an help mate." Don't ever make that mistake. Don't ever listen. It's so degrading to women and to females to say that God gave him a help mate. He gave animals mates. He gave Adam a help meet. That word "meet" means necessary. Man's not complete without woman. And then he gets married and then he's finished. But anyway,
I had to throw that in there.
God saw that he needed something. I'm going to get myself tickled if I don't be careful. God saw that he needed something. A help meet means a necessary help to complement man. We had a Bible study one time down at Wilmer, and Brother Richard, somebody said, "Well, I'm going to tell you what, I can't believe God made men and women so different and expected them to live together." And somebody said, "Well, he must have had a good sense of humor." Another said, "Well, it's just part of the fall, part of the punishment." But what good would woman be to man if she is just like the man? He wouldn't have needed her if she'd have been just like him. And I'm not just talking physically, I'm talking about in every way. God made a woman to help the man, to assist him, to aid him, if you want to know the real meaning of it, to complement him. That's what it made him for. In verse 19, "Out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof." How would you like that job? How many of you got a vocabulary like that? I'm not trying to be silly, but we had a hard time naming three children. God said, "All right, Adam, this is your job. You name them." Adam and God communicated, didn't he? Walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and God called out to Adam and said, "Adam, where art thou?" He knew how to communicate. I guarantee you one thing, Adam, in the state that he was in, he had a better vocabulary than me or you
will ever have.
He was not some dumb brute beast walking around dragging his knuckles. God created a man. He created an intelligent man. Amen. And man has gone downhill ever since. Amen. Let me tell you something. I hear this statement. Let me preach just a second. I'll close. I hear people say, "Boy, children today are so much smarter than they've ever been." Let me tell you one thing. Children are the same thing they've always been. They have access to more knowledge than they've ever had. But children today are not more intelligent than they've ever been. No, sir. They have access to more knowledge, but they're not more intelligent. They're the same depraved, sinful, natured offspring of man that they've always been. Genesis chapter 3, I'll try to deal with some more of that tomorrow night. We'll get into the depravity of man. And we get on to some things that to me is just fun. It's just enjoyable. Nothing wrong with enjoying Bible study. Nothing wrong with calling Bible study fun. I used to think that it had to be like going to the dentist and pulling teeth. It's not that way. It can be very enjoyable. And I trust that it can be. I don't want to just entertain you.
you pray for me in some way or another could be a blessing. And I have a burden to try to not only help these children, but to help us all, that we can know how to be a blessing. Don't take for granted. Well, preacher, I know what I believe. I'll believe it till the day I die. You might, but we've got generations coming after us that need some help. And I trust by God's help that we can help them.
We thank the Lord for the good Bible study. You know, it's not just young people that don't understand these things. I was in a nursing home at Franklin. Probably been a year or so ago. Matter of fact, I was pastor over at Wilmer, so it's been a few years ago. And I was in a nursing home and went in and had prayer with this lady. If I was a member there at Wilmer. And I was having prayer with her, and she just asked a question, you know, talk about God, you know, Him being the Almighty God, the Creator, and all of that. And she asked one of the questions, what Brother Joe mentioned about where did Cain get his wife at? And I just mentioned that verse in the Bible. I didn't have my Bible. I said, it's in Genesis 3:20. I said, it tells you the answer to that. And when I went back, she acted like she was some kind of bumbo. She couldn't wait to got her Bible. And I come back, she said, you know, I didn't know it was in the Bible. Well, I'm not real smart either. I didn't know it was in there for a long time. And Brother Joe let me know what Miss Sharon is tonight. I tell people all the time, she does everything for me but study and preach. God named it right when he said a helpmate. Helpmeet. Not mate. So, thank the Lord for you women.
Amen.
And thank the Lord you're different. Very different. And the Lord knew what he was doing with all this. So, I'm going to give God credit. Amen. I'm going to let the Bible be true and man be liars.
Amen. Amen.
Would there be any word or announcement?
Brother Richard, Brother Gil predicted the pastor this morning about 5:30, and folks have his funeral Wednesday, 1:00, funeral home that week. He's supposed to be buried across the cemetery.
You hear this, one of our preacher brethren, I didn't know him personally, but we got called today and was reminded about that. Also down the community there right by Forest Haven Church, well, matter of fact, at State Line, there's a young man late yesterday evening took his life, his own life, 31 years old, and the family is very faithful people there at the church at State Line. So pray for that family. Remember them. They in much, much trouble. We stopped by, me and my wife, and had prayer with them when we started up this way earlier today, and they in much trouble. They need our prayers. They need the grace of God and God's mercy. Any other word or announcement? Not, Brother Joe, come lead us a closing song. Yes, sir.
May stand as we sing, give an opportunity for an offering. 509.